is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Of course, Monday we're joined by EJ Raddick from NHL Now on the NHL Network, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 Eastern. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, I'm good, Donnie. I just was in Nashville over the weekend, had a good weekend. I was playing in a old man's hockey tournament, and I was with some friends, and also my colleague here at the NHL Network and two-time Stanley Cup winner Dave Reed, who joined us and who still loves to play and is still actually very good. So we had a great weekend, got to see the Predators and Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets are just rolling all the
time.
So it was an interesting weekend all the way around. So all is good.
Yeah, you start looking. You know, it's that routine conversation every Monday, kind of assessing, you know, where these teams on the outside looking in need to go. Yeah, the way Columbus is playing now, Montreal's target is Carolina. And maybe their best entrance into it. Montreal's got a beast of a schedule. At least it appears to be that way, because I'm not really sure what Tampa has to play for, right? You know, Toronto's locked in. That's a team Columbus, Carolina's got to play. So when you look at tomorrow's schedule, Montreal against Tampa, Carolina against Toronto, on the surface it looks like those are two tough games. Maybe they're easy games because there's nothing for Toronto and Tampa to play for at this point.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting how things work out with the schedule, right? We thought, oh, you don't want to be playing Winnipeg right now. And meanwhile, they've been struggling. The Islanders beat them, and Montreal put a beating on them the other night. And, you know, you talk about having to go and play Tampa. Nobody likes to do that, but it's the second of a back-to-back. They'll travel from Ottawa to Montreal. Eddie Pasquale likely will be in goal because Louis Domingue is out. And so, you know, maybe that's not quite as difficult a situation as maybe it appeared at first. So, you know, you never know down the stretch. And just and conversely, you know, other teams, you know, some of these other teams can step up and bite you. The Detroit Red Wings are playing very well right now.
It's amazing.
They've got a home-and-home with the Penguins coming up. Maybe those games are harder than you thought. So in this league where everything is so close, it's not always who you play. It's kind of when you play them. And right now, I think you're not as eager to play the Detroit Red Wings as you might have been, you know, 2 months ago.
Yeah, so Montreal and Carolina, they both have three games remaining. And really, just Montreal does not control their own destiny. Carolina does. So we talked about the games coming up tomorrow. But then Carolina's got a game home against New Jersey, which looks like that could be, you know, a much easier game than anything Montreal still has left on their schedule. As we mentioned, Montreal will take on Tampa coming up tomorrow from Montreal. And then they're at the Capitals. They may be battling to try to finish up the division. And then they'll be home against Toronto. And even though the Leafs have nothing to play for, I'm sure they would love nothing more than to knock the Canadiens out. So Montreal clearly the tougher schedule.
Yeah, again, though, it's just, you know, how you're playing, who you're, you know, when you're playing them. The Capitals, you know, I mean, they get a win tonight. They give themselves 104 points. I don't think the Islanders can catch them at that point. So I think they clinch the division. So all of a sudden, now that game isn't as important to them. And, you know, again, it's just, I guess it's just day to day. Maybe because, you know, Donnie, you both of us have been around a long time. We've seen strange things happen. We've seen bad teams, you know, knock out good teams. I can remember going all the way back to when the, I think it was the Ottawa Senators, knocked out the Devils from the playoffs the year after they won the Stanley Cup. And I believe it was on the last day of the season.
Sure was,
the Senators, I don't think, had a good team that year. So you just never know how
it's going
to play out. And it'll be fun to watch. And if you're a fan of the Jackets or the Canes or the Canadiens, I mean, you're just scrambling with every, you know, day-to-day right now. Because let's face it, last, if you go back about 10 days or even less, maybe 8 days, the Jackets were coming off an ugly loss in Edmonton, and things were not looking good. And then they reeled off five straight wins, and now all of a sudden they're a juggernaut.
That's crazy, right?
It can change quickly.
Yeah, it can. So, yeah, we can't completely rule out Carolina coming back to the pack as well. But right now, Montreal's chasing after Carolina. Hurricane schedule, as we said, Tuesday at Toronto, Thursday home against New Jersey, and then Saturday at Philadelphia. Philadelphia mathematically eliminated. How about this for a quirk, all right? First time Rangers Flyers have missed the playoffs in the same year since 92-93, and it's only happened once. That's the only year that the Rangers and Flyers both missed the playoffs the same year. And yesterday's game that I called in Philadelphia, the first time ever those two teams met each other when both teams were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. We're talking 50 years, over 50 years.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Now,
well, I guess it's a good show you that both those franchises have been relatively good for that time. Or that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, now how about this? Devils and Rangers both missed the playoffs for the first time ever since the Devils came into the league in 82-83. So tonight at the Rock will be the first time the Rangers and Devils will play when both teams have been eliminated. So it's going to happen on back-to-back days. So just kind of quirky that it's just so odd that you're seeing a lot of these teams, just how consistent those teams have been making the playoffs. And Philadelphia eliminated Saturday against Carolina, and boy, just did not have much in the tank yesterday afternoon against the Rangers.
Yeah, no, it's hard, I guess, when teams are making a push and they have that chance to get in, and then when it finally, the door shuts officially, it's hard to get yourself really motivated, maybe for that first one. I think they have a couple more down the stretch here, and I think that'll probably, then you get back on track, and, young guys are playing, and you're playing for pride, and, but I think that first one when you're eliminated is tough.
Yeah, and then it depends how you look at it, too, elimination, and then even clinching, right? Boston, they locked themselves into that second seed knowing they're going to play Toronto, and they lose to Florida and Detroit in back-to-back games. So, obviously, a lot of teams kind of just thinking about it. We do have two locked-in matchups, EJ. Boston-Toronto, that's locked in. And we are locked into San Jose and Vegas in the first round. And we talked about it last week. San Jose did have a spirited win against Vegas in overtime. But otherwise, Jose just looks lost.
Yeah, they look a little bit fouled up, for lack of a better term. But you know what? They did get a win against the Golden Knights on Saturday night. And it was, as you said, it was a spirited game. It was kind of a nasty game. And, the one thing about the Sharks is they know – they've been through it. This is an experienced group for the most part. They know what they have to do, and they know when they have to be ready. The question is out there. I mean, is Marty Jones going to be able to figure it out come playoff time? Are they going to be healthier when they get ready to start next week? So those two teams know what they're looking at. They played in the playoffs last year. I don't think they like each other all that much. It's going to make for a hell of a first-round matchup. But, if San Jose is going to win, Marty Jones is going to have to be way better than he's been through the regular season, and the Sharks will have to find a way to get through to Marc-Andre Fleury if he's healthy and ready to go.
And I remember, because the best about what you cover, right? And I remember covering the Devils in those mid-90s, and they had that awful Game 7 loss to the Rangers the year before. Then you had the lockout, right? And they had that 48-game schedule in 95. And the Devils looked just average, right? The regular season. And many people just discounted them. Okay, last year was just a fluke. They're not really a team to worry about. And then they just flipped a switch, right? They got into the playoffs and then never faced elimination. And when you look at it,
They made a couple of trades. And didn't they end up getting Neil Broughton?
Well, Neil Broughton, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but
even little things that helped them.
Yeah, absolutely. But going into the play, and you could say that Nyquist can be that for San Jose. We'll see.
Yeah.
But you're right. They just you went into the playoffs, and they were a veteran enough crew that had gone through the rigors the year before, where they just knew to flip the switch. I guess that's what you hope for if you're a Sharks fan, that they'll get Carlson back, that they know what they got to do. They've got a lot of veterans on the team, and then a switch will flip. And maybe that's what you got to hope for.
Yeah, I think that's really the case. I think the biggest thing is just, again, going back to Jones. I mean, that has been by far the biggest question mark with the San Jose Sharks, other than having some injury challenges. But, sure, his save percentage being below 900 in this day and age just doesn't cut it. You can't have that success with that kind of save percentage. And, Aaron Dell was in last night, and he's been all year, which has been very bad as well. So, that's going to be the key question for them. If those guys can play well, then this team will have a chance. I mean, Aaron Dell's save percentage right now, Donnie, hasn't played a ton, but he's played 24 games. It's .884. I mean, that's on a good team. That's not on a bad team. And I know you get some tough nights. Like last night was a tough second of a back-to-back. They didn't have a lot of jump against Calgary. But .884 is just not good. And then Marty Jones is at .896. So the only thing you can hang your hat on there is that Marty Jones has taken this team to a final and that, he'll find his way. But, it doesn't leave you with a really good feeling about things, that's for sure.
What do we know about Pavelski?
Well, I can tell you this much. When he got hurt, he got slammed into the boards. kind of on a reverse hit by Philip Forsberg, and he went in very awkwardly. And it's one of those things that it could be a couple of different things.
Right.
So we're just hoping that he is going to be somebody that's going to be back up to speed. And I think in San Jose's case, again, I mean, I think they really know where they're at, right? I mean, they're going to finish second in that division. They're going to have home ice against the Vegas Golden Knights. So I think for their group, because they are such a veteran group, I think it's probably best to be really careful and wait with guys and not rush them back, because there's really nothing to gain for them right now between now and the start of the playoffs. They want to be as healthy as they can be. So we'll have to keep an eye on all of it. But, right now, he's an important piece of the puzzle for them, as he's been for many years.
Now, one thing you taught me, and you taught me well, all those years doing NHL Thank Live you. Together, now, the playoffs are all about matchups, okay?
Yep. Matchups and injuries.
Yes, absolutely. No question. Yep. But Calgary clinches one.
Yeah.
And they desperately need Dallas to get that first wild card. That is a bad matchup for Calgary, Dallas, for some reason, right? So, when you talk about matchups, you're like, oh, Calgary, great season, Dallas. If Dallas played Calgary in the first round, Calgary could be out if you just base it on recent history.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what about the Dallas Stars. I would not want to play them.
I know.
Because they don't allow a lot of goals. And they've got a goaltender, who's a little dinged up right now. But when he's, and that's an issue with Ben Bishop, right? When he's, he can't always stay healthy for long stretches. But, he has been deep in the playoffs with the Tampa Bay Lightning before. He is a really talented goalie. He's having a hell of a season. I mean, .933 save percentage, 6 shutouts in the 45 appearances this year. I mean, he is having a hell of a year. And they play a pretty good stingy type defense in front of them, and they've got just enough guys that can score that can beat you. They can win those games that are 3-2, 2-1, and they're going to get Matt Zuccarello back, and the chemistry that he showed in a very short span with the Stars was significant. And at the time, I think I told you, I thought about it, Zuccarello has never played with a player as good as Sagan or Ben, in his time with the Rangers just haven't had players that good. And so who knows? If he comes back and Bishop is healthy, the Dallas Stars might be one of those teams in the West you'd like to avoid.
I know.
Play him. I mean, I'd much rather take my chances with the Avalanche, even though Grubauer has been very hot. I mean, he's been off the charge for the last 12 games or so. But that said, I think I'd really take my chances more against him than Bishop.
And you look at the bottom of the West. You give the Coyotes any hope? I'm kind of looking at the schedules now. The Coyotes are a point back of the Avalanche, but the Avalanche have a game in hand. Colorado's at Blues, home against the Oilers, home against the Jets, at the Sharks. Okay?
Yeah.
Again, we're getting into, what's a tough schedule, what's not the tough schedule, but still, that game in hand is what's going to probably kill Arizona. Arizona's remaining three, as I pop up the schedule here.
Yeah.
They are home against the Kings, at the Golden Knights, who are locked into three, by the way.
Yeah.
Home against the Jets. So that's going to be tough for the Coyotes, right?
Well, I mean, I would say this, that a lot will swing on tonight's game between the Avalanche and the Blues, right? And, the Blues have a lot to play for because they could still win the division as things have unfolded here. And if the Avalanche could go into St. Louis and get a clean win, or any win, really, because St. Louis's result doesn't really impact Arizona. So if Arizona could go in and get any win, just as they were able to do against the Coyotes the other night when, Darcy Kuemper was terrific in that game and kept them in. But in the end, and Grubauer was very good too. And in the end, the Colorado ended up getting the extra point in that game. So in the St. Louis game tonight, if Colorado were to win, that gives them 87 points, 3 points up with, both teams having three games. Colorado then returns home to take on the Oilers. Tomorrow, the Oilers are in a second of a back-to-back traveling both nights, too, so you might not get the best out of them. So if Colorado can get a win tonight and then go into Edmonton and win tomorrow, or go at home and beat Edmonton tomorrow, they put themselves in a really good position no matter what the Coyotes can do. So if Colorado loses tonight in St. Louis, now you got three games left. There's a point difference. They're dead even in the ROW column, so we'd have to go in and look through the other tiebreakers to see where things are at, but it'll be interesting, certainly, down the stretch, those last three games, if the Avs were to lose tonight.
You know, and the other thing that's still very much up in the air, as you said, the Caps are on their way to clinching the division. That looks like it's pretty much a done deal, is who gets home ice in that Penguin-Islander matchup in the Metropolitan Division. And looking at the schedule there, boy, that really favors the Pens. You would think, again, because here we are with the Islanders having a game at home against the Leafs, at Panthers, at Caps. Pens a home-and-home against Detroit, who are on fire right now. And then last game of the season against the Rangers. So at least on the surface, the Pens have the easier three games than the Islanders do. But we'll see what Detroit musters up at that home-and-home.
Exactly. And, you know, the Capitals would be playing probably for nothing in that last game. So that, I mean, there's a lot of variables between now and then. And I think for the Penguins, I don't think the Penguins are much worried about opening on the home or on the road. They like to open at home, I'm sure.
I think it's bigger for the Islanders.
Home ice. But I completely agree with you. I think the Islanders would be better suited opening at home and having the extra game at home if they can, you know, push the Penguins all the way to the end. So, we'll see. But it's, you know, like I said, we talk about it, right? Like tonight, here's another example. Tampa Bay is playing Ottawa. The best team in the league is playing the worst team in the league. You can't even be certain that the Lightning are going to win. You know, the Senators have been pretty good at home. And the Lightning is, you know, they're Victor Hedman, which is kind of news today. Victor Hedman got hurt the other night against the Caps. And John Cooper has ruled him out for the remainder of the regular season and hoping to have him back in the playoffs. So, you know, there's a monkey wrench for you. What happens to the Tampa Bay Lightning if Victor Hedman has some kind of significant upper body injury, a.k.a. concussion? Cooper was asked in particular about a concussion. He would not comment on that. So that leaves you wondering about the situation with Hedman. But, you know, if the Tampa Bay Lightning go into the playoffs and Victor Hedman's not available, I mean, that changes things. There's just no question about it.
No question. Absolutely. You're right. Now, I think they could survive the first round if they take on a team like Montreal, like Carolina, Columbus. But you get into the second round without Hedman, you telling me that that's not going to even things up against Boston if it's not close to even to begin with? You know, that's...
Listen, even in the first round, it makes it more difficult because it stretches players. And the reason why Ryan McDonough's had such a great season this year is because Victor Hedman is there and they're able to kind of work off each other.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have Hedman, not to say that McDonough can't still be a force out there, but this makes it different and you're used in different ways and it changes the dynamic of your group. So we'll have to keep a close eye on Hedman's situation, but he's, according to Cooper, he will not play in these final four games for the Lightning, all of which are on the road at Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, and then Boston.
Now, before we get to the tweets, I think we both can equally, with the same enthusiasm, wish a belated happy birthday to the great Stan Fischler. Yesterday, he turned 87 years old, and I've never met an 87-year-old younger than Stan Fischler. Uh-huh. And you cannot really be involved in hockey in the tri-state area without knowing Stan Fischler. So a belated happy birthday to him.
Yes, happy birthday to Stan. And he's, you know, I haven't seen him in a little while, but I know he's still spry and, you know, still very opinionated on things, which we like. And he's seen a lot. He's done it all. And he's had an unbelievable life in this game. So I wish him all the best and a happy, happy, happy birthday to him.
And he also shares a birthday with the great Gordie Howe, who would have been 91 yesterday.
Oh, boy, that's a good guy to share a good birthday with. I'm excited that I share a birthday with Ted Lindsay. I can't imagine if I shared with the Gordie Howe.
Yeah, right?
I do feel in kind of a strange way, like kind of really honored or happy, or, you know, it's nice to share a birthday with someone like Ted Lindsay, who obviously recently passed away, that was such an icon in the game.
Well, I'll tell you what, knowing you, that if you played in that era, you'd be walking right along with Ted Lindsay getting traded to Chicago because you were causing trouble trying to start their own union.
Exactly. Know me well.
Yeah, you would have been out in Detroit. You would have been.
That's right.
Yeah, back
to. You know what? The real issue is this: would I have ever been in Detroit?
Right.
Question.
That might not be. That's a whole other story.
I might have been like in Moncton or somewhere.
Yeah, possibly. Let's get to the tweets here as we close out the final week of the regular season. And by the way, EJ will join us throughout the playoffs as well, if schedule permits. I know he gets very busy in the postseason. But Ronnie L.
Always find the time.
That's right, you do. And Ronnie L. says, hey, guys, just got back from Can-Am tournament in beautiful Lake Placid. Could you please give a shout-out to the fine young men of the East Islip Chiefs? Appreciate you and your passion for hockey. Thanks. So shout-out to the East Islip Chiefs.
There you go. And so I hope they had a good tournament. And as I mentioned, I was just down in Nashville at an old man's hockey tournament. And a shout-out to the New Jersey team men, my team. We
finished
second. We got the silver.
You know, this came up yesterday, and I guess wanted to talk about it a little here. I knew I was going to get a tweet, and I got one from Victor. We did hear that the CWHL is going to cease its existence.
Yes.
Here they sent out a press release over the weekend. So Victor wants to know, is there any chance that they could merge with the NWHL? A single season could be the best thing to happen, or a single league could be the best thing to happen to professional women's hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of possibilities at this point. You know, I think that the women's hockey has certainly been on an uptick over the last bunch of years, and you know, the growth of the professional leagues. We had the we had what I guess is the last game in the you know, the CW League, the Canadian League, with that was on the NHL Network, the final, Calgary and Montreal. So I think there's a I think we would be better suited with one league, and I think this is how things evolve over time. We've had two leagues. We had the Canadian League. We had the league down here in the U.S. Hopefully, there will be a way for perhaps the NHL is going to get involved, and perhaps, you know, some of these teams can be incorporated in. I think there's a lot of, you know, when you're talking about business now, professional sports, there's a lot of things that go into that kind of stuff, so we will see how it plays out, but I don't think it's the death knell by any means for women's hockey. I think it's more of a situation where, again, it's part of the evolution of these leagues. And, you know, I think eventually we will see one league. I kind of agree with the, you know, with the tweeter there that we're going to see one league and maybe lead to a bigger and stronger league down the road.
MD, which wild card matchup would be best for Calgary, Arizona or Colorado?
Oh, boy. I would say probably, you know, based on the way that that Grubauer is playing right now, I guess you'd say Arizona. But you know, how much difference is there? I mean, you know, I guess Colorado is a little more experienced. They got a little more high end scoring. So I guess you'd rather play Arizona because Arizona just has a hard time putting the puck in the net. But Darcy Kemper's been very, very good. And, you know, when the playoffs begin, it's a clean slate for everybody. So we've seen this before. Teams get hot and all of a sudden start scoring. But I would say, to answer that question, probably that you'd rather face Arizona at this point.
Chris says, hi, guys. There are rumors the Flyers may trade Gostisbehere and Konecny in the offseason. I understand moves need to be made, but is trading two young players with upside the answer? Didn't work out when the Flyers moved Williams and Sharp.
Yeah, I don't think you're going, you know, very far in this league if you're just moving, you know, young players out all the time. Now, if you're moving a young player for a young player, I mean, we saw Calgary and Carolina make that deal with, you know, Elias Lindholm and, you know, the different players and Dougie Hamilton that went back and forth. You know, it's kind of worked out well for both of those teams. So you get a circumstance like that. But I think Chuck Fletcher, there'll be a temptation because you have guys. This is the one thing that happens, though. You have a guy like Gostisbehere, who is a terrific puck-moving type defenseman. He can really hammer the puck from the point. He plays a little bit of a risky game. He makes defensive zone mistakes that often lead into goals. And you watch him, and when you watch him over 82 games, you weigh sometimes a little bit more on the negative than the positive. And I think you're seeing this a little bit in Toronto, too, with Jake Gardner being out. People have been very critical of Jake Gardner's defensive skills. And, you know, I'm one that will tell you I think he's kind of a light defender. But he's a heck of a puck mover. He's a heck of a skater. And when he's been out, all of a sudden the Toronto Maple Leafs are spending more time in the defensive zone because they don't have those really easy exits that Gardner provides with his skating ability or his first pass. So, I'd be really interested to see what Chuck is going to do in the offseason there, Chuck Fletcher, the GM. But if you're going to trade assets like that, you better get some really good young players in return as well.
Well, this is an interesting one from Tom. He says, I am a Blackhawks fan from New Jersey. long story for another day. Is it okay for me to wear my Taves jersey to the Devils-Rangers game tonight? What are your opinions of wearing a different team jersey to a game where the team isn't playing? Acceptable or clown shoe move?
All right. My feeling, this is the way I am as a person. Do whatever you want. I am not going to tell you what to do. That said, I do always wonder when I go to a game why someone would wear the jersey of a team that is not participating in that game. It is one of those things I scratch my head about, and really annoying when it's a rival. In this case, the Blackhawks are not necessarily a rival of the Rangers or the Devils, so it wouldn't irritate me as much. But I know when I go to a Yankee game, for example, and you know I'm a Yankee fan, and they're playing the Twins, and I see a guy walking around with a Red Sox hat on, I'm like, you know, get lost, pal.
But if he's walking around with a San Francisco Giant hat on, you'd probably be like, less that's offensive. Strange, but it wouldn't bother you.
Yes, it's less offensive. So that's kind of my two cents on that.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you. I mean, as I'm getting older, I kind of drop my guard a little bit more tolerant. I remember going to Devil games as a kid, right? And I'd always see different jerseys of the teams they weren't playing. Because there were a lot of people back in the mid-80s that maybe they weren't Devil fans, but they were hockey fans. Couldn't get into the Garden, or they lived too far away from Nassau Coliseum and just wanted to enjoy a game and be proud of the team they rooted for, but they appreciated hockey. So I look at it and I say to the guy that's tweeting, Tom, you appreciate hockey. And being a Blackhawk fan isn't going to irritate the Devils or the Rangers. It's not like you're walking there with a Flyer or an Islander jersey or something like that. So, Tom, take in a hockey game. Let people know that you don't root for either team and who you root for. Perfectly acceptable to me. Perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. There you go. I'm with you on that. Like I said, it would not irritate me to see that. But if it was an Islander fan, then I'd be like, what are you doing here? You
know? Right. Now, Robert Thee asks a great question, because I think this is an enigma, and it was for Alain Vigneault and David Quinn, who took over for him. Do you think that Buchnevich has finally turned the corner? He's always had the talent. It's just a matter of maturity level and consistency. He did score his 20th goal yesterday. I believe he's getting closer. If he's playing with the right people, I think this has been a better year for him under Quinn than his last year there with Alain Vigneault, because I think Quinn's a little bit more patient and is in a little different place with the younger players than I think AV was last year. But getting a chance to play consistently with Zibanejad and Kreider, I think, has brought the best out in him. Now, is it a major corner? You know, is it down the stretch of what's going to be a brilliant career? But I do feel better about him this year than I did last year.
Well, you know, I would say, Don, you see him much more than I do. So, I mean, I would certainly weigh your opinion more heavily than mine. I would only say this, that he's still a young player. He's still developing. He has 7 of his 20 goals on the power play this year. So you'd like to see more production, maybe an even strength for a player like that. But, you know, he's missed some time. There's been some time he hasn't played, you know, coach's decision, I think, throughout the season as well, a couple of those. So, 20 goals in 61 games, pretty good. And, you know, I think the development, you want to see the development continue to moving in the right direction. You want to see it on an upward tick. And, you know, I think next year is a really big year for him because, you know, you want to build on what you've done this year and be someone that the coach always relies on. And, you know, I saw Dave Maloney did a really nice breakdown about 10 days ago on Buchnevich and really some of the really good play in the defensive zone and the hustle. And if he continues to play like that, then he is going to be a guy that's going to play in this league for a while.
Yeah, and I think Dave and I were talking about it yesterday. We did the last game of the season in Philadelphia last year, and then AV got fired later that day, if you remember.
Yeah.
Rangers didn't show up. It was a completely different feel. Here we are, 4 games left in the season in Philadelphia, completely different, because I think there was an end of an era with AV. He was brought there to win a cup, and he was not brought there to tutor young kids and to grow young kids, and clearly the Rangers were going in a different direction, so you knew Alain Vigneault was done. This is David Quinn's job, to mature the young players, to be patient with them, so it makes sense for Buchnevich to thrive under that kind of an atmosphere.
Yeah, it really does, and they need him to thrive and to grow, because he's a valuable asset for them. He was one of the high-end prospects in that group over the last couple of years, and they need him to continue to take those steps forward. So, like I said, I mean, I thought that, you know, his play away from the puck seems to be much improved, and that's really what's important. We know that if he gets chances in offensive situations, he has the talent to score.
All right, buddy. Should be a lot of fun. We'll talk, yep. I guess, Monday will be a chance to preview all the matchups and get everything ready. We've got a week, but still so much up in the air. Home ice advantage, division championship still up for grabs, and, of course, Arizona trying to make it, Montreal trying to make it. So it should be a fun week here.
It should be. I'll tell you one thing. Carolina better not blow it. They haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years, and they've had a lot of excitement there this year.
Yeah.
Storm surge, the whole thing. They got three games left. They better find a way to get in, because that would be a sad story for me to see the Carolina Hurricanes.
It would be.
For all the things that went on with them to end up on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
They got some work to do.
They got
it's
some
in
work.
Their hands.
Yeah.
It's in their hands.
All you can ask for is control of your own destiny. That's all you can really ask for, and they've got it. So,
yeah.
But you can lose it. One slip up, and you can lose
it.
And I give Montreal's putting the pressure on. A lot on Carey Price, who I guess is going to just start the rest of the game. So, we'll see if he can carry the way, but should be fun. Hey, everybody's winning,
all right, buddy.
So
yeah,
enjoy it. I'll be watching.
Well, all right, buddy. We'll be talking to you next week.
All right, that's the great EJ Raddick, fresh from Nashville, Tennessee. He's going to be on the NHL Network today, 4 o'clock Eastern Time with NHL Now. Here's the schedule. Games very, very important as we get down the stretch. Capitals trying to clinch the division. They'll be in Florida to take on the Panthers. Rangers and Devils playing out the string. Islanders trying to get home ice advantage home against the Leafs. So you'll have John Tavares part two over at the Coliseum. Lightning and the Senators. Avalanche and the Blues. This is the Colorado Avalanche's game in hand. So if they can win this, they would have a full 3-point lead with three games to go, taking it a step closer to clinching a playoff berth. But that's a big game for the Blues, who still can win the division. Jets and the Blackhawks from Chicago. Golden Knights and Oilers. Flames and Kings, your schedule. So we got lots to go over tomorrow. Get that much closer to the playoffs. Maybe the picture will get a little bit clearer. Maybe it'll get blurrier. Who knows? But we'll have some fun coming up tomorrow. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.